Buenos dias, good morning. First and foremost, I want to thank you, each and every one of you, for your continued support for me over the last year as I was living and serving in Mexico, as well as inviting me here to share some of that year with you all. As a global missionary for the ELCA's Young Adults and Global Mission Program, my year was focused around accompaniment, and not only how I could be with others, but how others could be there with me as well. And I truly felt accompanied by this church community from afar. Humba nati makulu waitu. Come walk with me, the journey is long. These are lyrics to a song I learned back in April 2018 while attending the discernment and interview process weekend for YAGA. I didn't know how true those words would be until now. Though my time serving in country has come to an end, I feel as though my journey has really just begun, and boy, will it be long. I am slowly processing and trying to transition back to life in the United States while staying true to what I learned and how I grew abroad, trying not to fall back into old habits and routines. How do I speak about my year, and how do I share these stories with all of you? How do I show appreciation for my neighbors, friends, and family I gained in Mexico while being home? I know that I can't cover everything now, and it's something I will continue to wrestle with. I lived in Tlaxco, Tlaxcala, about a 2.5 hour bus ride east of Mexico City. Tlaxco is this beautiful town nestled in the valley of mountains with roads made of stone. I worked and lived at Proyecto San Isidro, a ranch and organization dedicated to sustainability, bioconstruction, and water restoration. Proyecto San Isidro hosts many different workshops throughout the year on bioconstruction, painting with natural resources, healthy eating, and day workshops on water restoration. I primarily worked in the garden, planting, watering, and harvesting the crops, feeding and caring for the rabbits and ducks. Occasionally, though, I got to help and participate in the workshops that we hosted. I learned about how this organization was able to reforest 2 barren mountains over 40 years simply by planting seeds and retaining rainwater on those mountains, how they continue to be passionate about helping others learn about bioconstruction and its importance for the earth, how to care and nurture this land that God has given us. There were days I spent hours sorting seeds or sitting in the cafe I worked with what seemed like nothing to do. And this is where the mission of accompaniment really came into play. In the lull times, I learned that sometimes you just need to sit and be with others around you. Man. So here are some pictures of Proyecto San Isidro. The rabbits that I cared for and helped raise were my pure joy every morning, greeting them and feeding them and seeing the little babies grow. In the top is the first harvest of potatoes we had in our garden, and the bottom picture is just me harvesting some of our crops for the workshops that we hosted. I found myself in a place that truly welcomed me, a host community that seemed to give me so much more than I could ever give them. They invited me to plenty of parties and comidas, which are the largest meal of the day that consisted of soup and beans and rice and tortillas and a full meal with sides and dessert. And you never left hungry. They took me to waterfalls and to get lattes. They shared their family stories and recipes with me, the history of the town and the state I had the privilege of calling home. The only thing I could give them was my presence and head nodding when I couldn't quite keep up with the language. Though the Bible tells us to give to the poor, sometimes we are surprised and welcomed into their homes and communities, and that was seeing God's work firsthand. I wasn't quite given a family in Mexico, but I found one. Outside of my work community, I was introduced to 2 Peace Corps volunteers that not only lived in Tlaxco, but were also from Southern California. Kaya and Amanda helped me get more immersed in our town and with the people there. They were open to inviting me to come along wherever they were invited, so through them, I was able to find a loving and welcoming community and plenty of people that told me that their home was also my home whenever I needed a place to be. I wanted to give a special shout out to Yolanda and her daughters who have hosted many YAGAM in the past and currently have a YAGAM, but didn't have one for the full year that I was there. Even though she was not hosting someone, she still checked up on me and made sure I was doing well and that I had somewhere to celebrate the holidays. Her and her daughters really went out of their way to make sure that I had a place to go at any time if I felt stressed or tired or needed some food. I couldn't be more grateful for them and the other Yagam hosts in Mexico. Whenever I went out of town, it was to another Yagam's host site, and they called me their daughter and an aunt to their children. It opened my eyes to how caring and family-oriented Mexico is. They never wanted to see someone alone and made sure to include everyone. It was truly a blessing to have such a huge support system in country from people that really had no reason to look out for me besides that they wanted to. Here are many different pictures of people that have welcomed me into their families. The top picture is of me, Courtney, and Owen, who were fellow Yagams with me, and Courtney's host sister, Ani, and her daughter, Isa, who is now my niece in Mexico, and I continue to receive pictures of her, and it's a wonderful blessing. The picture below that is with me and Oliva, who was Courtney's host mother, and she was always reaching out to me and making sure I was doing great and always constantly sending me memes in Spanish, which got a little overwhelming, but were also great that to know she was thinking of me. The top picture is with me and Jenny, one of Yolanda's daughters, and she always invited me to fun art things in town. And the bottom picture is of me and Courtney and her uncle, or Tio Noe, who always took us on different adventures to waterfalls or to get lattes or just different places around Tlaxcala, the state that we called home. He really wanted to make sure that we were both immersed in the place that we were living. Pack nothing. Bring only your determination to serve and your willingness to be free. Don't wait for the bread to rise. Take nourishment for the journey, but eat standing. Be ready to move at a moment's notice. These are words from the poem Passover Remembered by Ala Renee Bozarth. When we heard these words at orientation for Yagam last August, we were all confused. Pack nothing. What does that mean? Don't I need clothes for the next year? However, what we soon learned was packing nothing meant not packing preconceived ideas about what our year would look like, the communities and the people we would meet. It was about going into our year with an open mind and an open heart. That from the outside, we don't know these people's stories and what they have gone through. We quickly learned that even though we all lived very different lives in Mexico, that parts of our communities were the same. We renewed our visas about halfway through the year, which brought on a lot of homesickness and a lot of antsiness. We were in the middle of figuring out our flights back home and what was going to come next. We thought we could take a break from this idea that we always had to be on our feet and ready for the next thing. Though we did a lot of learning and observing this week, we were still being challenged and asked the hard questions. That just because we were away from our host communities, that didn't mean we could stop the mission we were on. In one of my newsletters, I wrote about my friend Hugo. I met Hugo while my cohort and I were in Mexico City on a walking tour before heading to Douglas, Arizona to renew our visas. Hugo was a kind person that really just wanted to have a conversation. As we walked, I asked him questions about his marriage and how hard that was, seeing as even though he married a documented US citizen, he was still removed from the only place that he had ever called home. I learned about his hardships getting sent to a country that he never knew, a country where he didn't really know the language or the culture. Though Hugo was thrown into this new life in Mexico, he continues to stay hopeful and knows to take nourishment in this journey God has sent him on, to be ready on his feet for when God calls him home to his husband and his sisters in the States. Talking with him, seeing his hopes and love for a country that continues to give him so many struggles really overwhelmed me. He continuously chooses to love and looks to God for support. Hugo taught me that even in the hard and frustrating times, God tells us to choose love and to be ready for what he has planned. Other than meeting Hugo, we spent time on the border of Douglas, Arizona and Agua Prieta in Sonora, Mexico. We spent a week walking along the border and meeting migrants. We were invited to a weekly memorial walk where we lifted up crosses and read the names of the lives lost to the desert in hopes of a better life. And people were yelling and thanking us from their cars as we did this, and it hit us all pretty hard. We didn't feel like we were changing anything. We were just there to say, these human lives will not be forgotten. We prayed for each one of these people and their families and friends, neighbors and coworkers. We don't know the struggles in their lives they were going through and why they felt they needed to leave home. People get this idea that migrants risking their lives and leaving their families to come to a country that is not very welcoming to them are bad. It is such a hard thing for me to wrap my mind around. The migrants and undocumented people I met throughout my year and since returning home are some of the most gracious people I have ever met. We got to see the beauty the Mexicans have made of a barrier being built and how unwelcome it is on the U.S. side. We had many Border Patrol questioning us and what we were doing. It was a lot to take in, and I am sure I will continue to process what I witnessed this week for many years to come. With the mission of accompaniment constantly on my mind in Mexico, I thought I would share some pictures of what accompaniment looked like for me. The first picture is of wild mushrooms that were harvested in a bosque or forest on the way out of Tlaxco. Yolanda took me and a fellow Yagam to a neighboring city, and on our way, we just had to pull over for these quesadillas that were made from these wild mushrooms. Yolanda was so excited to share these with us, seeing as they are only there when the rainy season is there, when the mushrooms grow and can be harvested. The middle picture is from when some of us went to Oaxaca for a little vacation. We went and saw how they shape pottery and many other things. This week was a relaxing week, but also full of learning about the indigenous communities that surround Oaxaca and how they are supported in their work and how their land is treated with so much respect. The last picture is of a parade going through Oaxaca. Many times when people get married, they spend time between the service and the reception marching through town with music and drinks to share with the community, and these giant statues of a husband and wife and dancing. And as I said in the past service, at this one in particular, they had mangoes that were not very ripe, and they were just overthrowing them, chucking them at the people standing and around, as well as sponges and Tupperware and some candy, many different things, but they just wanted to share this abundance of things that they had with the community around them. And it was a wonderful thing to be part of, that these people who are getting married not only wanted to share their wedding day and their union together with their loved ones, but also with the community. In the middle of this really amazing but challenging year, you think you are going to change, that everything will be different when you go home, and that you can change so much, that you'll know who exactly you are and what you want to do, that you are going to jump right into the mix of things and get involved either in the government with policies and nonprofit work or social justice issues, especially after hearing story after story like Hugo's. However, I will be the first one to tell you that the minute I got home, I couldn't wait to buy some kombucha and to get my hair done. That though I knew people were curious about what I did in Mexico, I didn't want to get right into it. Even though change and living a life of service is something I am passionate about, I am really realizing that I am still me, and just because I did a year abroad doesn't mean everything changes or that it happens right away. That all of those things come with the journey. I encourage you to reach out to me and to your current Yagam Kendra in Budapest, Hungary, and ask more questions. The easy ones, the hi, how are you doing, we're thinking of you, but especially the challenging ones that really make you think, as this was just a small part of what life was like for me in Mexico and what Kendra's year in Budapest will be. I encourage you to think about where you already choose love in your everyday life and where you can challenge yourself to choose love and accompaniment and to truly just be there with people without judgment and without the sense that you have to be doing something all the time. Humba nati mukulu waitu. Come walk with me. The journey is long. Amen.